Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Katie.
You're listening to Nostalgia. It's a podcast that,
No.
You didn't like my slow stammering delivery?
No, it was weird. You're listening to Nostalgia, the podcast brought to you by a moon bounce that they put up in your neighborhood that you played in all day and you got all sweaty and sunburnt and tired. And then you just go home and you're like, man, what a great day in the moon bounce. And you just played in there for like 7 hours. Maybe ate a hot dog.
And then later that week, when you develop a rash, you have to get some cream.
Foot and mouth. It's not good.
You have to get prescription cream from the doctor because you spent too much time in the moon bounce. Kate, have you ever seen... The Bob Newhart Show?
I have not, and I don't know why we're watching this for the podcast.
What do you know about it?
About a man, and that's all I know.
What do you know about Bob Newhart in general?
I know nothing about Bob Newhart.
Have you ever engaged with anything?
I don't know what he looks like.
Wow.
I don't know what his politics are.
Kate, the reason we're watching it for the podcast is because we're once again in Nick at Night land.
Great.
We're revisiting TV land here, and the Bob Newhart Show, I kind of forgot this until we started doing this sort of series within our podcast about Nick at Night, but this was the thing I was most attracted to on Nick at Night. This was the show on Nick at Night I actually liked the most. Maybe tied with I Love Lucy, but I think it was this. And then I never watched it or thought about it again once, you know, it rotated off Nick at Night. I don't think about Bob Newhart very often now. And doing this and doing these notes, I was like, oh yeah, I loved this. And I don't know why, and I'm really curious to see, because on paper it does not sound like a show a little five-year-old boy would like while he's trying to stay up and watch TV.
Don't put TV in your kids' bedrooms, listeners.
That's the main message of this entire show, this whole podcast. Let's do a little background on Bob Newhart, learn about the man. In the 1950s,
oh boy,
a young Bob Newhart was an accountant.
The most exciting job.
He didn't really like it, though, so he switched to writing advertising copy shortly after. So, still kind of a button-up job, but, like, dabbling in the entertainment industry. He would entertain himself at work by riffing little comedy bits with his coworker, like a guy who worked at like the next desk over, right? And their shtick was that they would make up phone conversations, like they were having phone conversations like as characters or with different weird quirks. And they thought that this was pretty unique. Maybe everyone else in the office didn't.
I think everyone else in that office was like, can you believe that Bob Newhart's doing the phone bit again?
So the two of them, they thought this was kind of special, so they started to record their best bits and send them to radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
But just as they were starting to get some interest from radio stations, one of the two guys here who's not Bob Newhart, the sort of comedy partner slash coworker, he bowed out. He's like, you know what? I'm not actually interested in doing this for real. I just like goofing in the office.
Mm.
So they kind of split up, and Bob Newhart, who was interested in doing this for real as a comedian, revamped the act. So it was a solo act where he would perform just one side of the phone conversation.
Oh, good God.
That's his signature bit that starts his career. Mm. He's on the phone and you don't hear the other person, but obviously it's written in a way where he kind of gives you all the information you need.
It doesn't sound great. But you know what? These are the days when the office is full of men, so maybe the men liked it.
They all loved it. So he kept recording his newly revamped bits, sending them out to radio stations. One of the DJs who heard it brought the tapes to the attention of Warner Brothers Records, and they signed Bob Newhart to a contract. And in 1960, he released his first comedy album based on this bit called The Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart. So because of the way he looks, and we haven't seen him yet, but he just looks like the most boring guy who would be an accountant or a copywriter. And because of his origin here, and because of his delivery, which is very low-key, his image as a comedian was, this guy's like boring and buttoned down. That's the first album, Button-Down Mind of Bob Newhart. And he's so deadpan, it's kind of unique that he's doing a comedy act where like he's basically the straight man, which is very unusual for a one-man act.
Interesting.
The most famous bit of his you actually have heard, sort of. It's Abe Lincoln versus Madison Avenue, it's called, because in the first episode of Mrs. Maisel, they reveal that in the episode.
Yeah.
Her husband is performing, right? She has to tag along with him. He's trying to break into comedy. And they find out that he stole this bit. Like, he heard it on a this album and is, like, doing it as if it's his, right? And it's the whole joke is that Abe Lincoln is someone from Madison Avenue, because he's a copywriter in real life, is trying to, like, revamp Abe Lincoln's image, you know? It's a pretty funny bit.
Abe, you haven't changed the speech, have you? Abe, what do you change the speeches for? A couple minor changes, I'll bet. All right, whatever. You what? You typed it. Abe, how many times have we told you on the backs of envelopes? I understand it's harder to read that way, Abe, but it looks like you wrote it on the train coming down or something like that. Abe, could you do this? Could you memorize it and then put it on the backs of the envelopes? You're getting a lot of play in the press on that. How are the envelopes holding out? You could stand another box. All right, okay. That's the minute. All right. What else, Abe? You change 87 to 87? I understand it means the same thing, Abe. Well, Abe, that's meant to be a grabber. Abe, we test marketed that in an Erie, and they went out of their minds about it. Abe, it's sort of like Mark Anthony saying, friends, Romans, countrymen, I've got something I want to tell you. You see what I mean, Abe?
It's the first ever comedy album ever to be the number one album on the Billboard charts, so it was really successful in 1960. He does a bunch more albums, he does live performances, he starts getting minor TV roles. He even had, this is a little confusing, he had his own variety show that only lasted one season in 1960 called The Bob Newhart Show. The show we're going to watch today is also called The Bob Newhart Show, but it's not a variety show, it's a sitcom and it's from a little later. I don't
Interesting.
Know. It's a little confusing.
Okay.
His profile's growing throughout the 60s and 70s. He's doing lots of guest spots.
Yeah.
He becomes one of the regular guest hosts of The Tonight Show for Johnny Carson.
Oh, okay.
When he's out, you know, he has a couple rotating people who fill in for
like
him. Bob Newhart's
friend.
One of them. So Mary Tyler Moore and her husband chose the up-and-coming Bob Newhart to be the star of the second sitcom they are going to ever produce with their production company. Of course, the first one they produced was The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Sure.
They want to do another one. They grab Bob Newhart.
I love yourself first.
Yes. So they call it The Bob Newhart Show.
Okay.
It originally airs on CBS from September 16th, 1972 to April 1st, 1978 for six seasons and 142 episodes. In the show, Bob Newhart plays a psychologist. They live in Chicago. He's a psychologist. Other characters include his wife, who's a school teacher, his receptionist, his friend, who's an orthodontist, his neighbor, who's an airline pilot. The airline pilot neighbor is played by Bill Daly, who is the best friend from I Dream of Jeannie. We already saw him there.
You know what? These, like, 60s men, they all look the same to me.
You'll see. You'll recognize
them. They all have oily hair, big ties. I don't like it.
Something I think you're really going to like about this show, though, maybe this is why I liked it and I didn't know. Newhart and his wife on the show are childless the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
And the producers wanted them really badly to do a pregnancy storyline. That's pretty common on sitcoms.
Sure, it's like, oh, now Lucy's pregnant.
Yes.
And you can add, like, an annoying kid actor.
Bob Newhart adamantly refused. He's like, no.
All right,
these characters are going to be, that's their life. They're never going to have children. In real life, he has, like, tons of kids and grandkids.
He's just making them all.
Yes, but in the show, that wasn't part of the show.
Good for him.
It was on Nick at Night later.
Actually, you were right. I am cool with that.
See? It was on Nick at Night later from 1993 to 1998. And like I said, I loved this. Oh, I'm sorry. I said this was my favorite. You know what? The Munsters might be my all-time favorite, but this is up there.
We haven't done the Munsters yet, have
That's
we?
That's next month. That's for Spooky Month. This is still September. The Munsters and this, and maybe I Love Lucy, they're the only shows on Nick at Night that I would actively seek out. Like, I would wait for them. I'd be like, oh, I know that Bob Newhart is on at this time. I gotta stay up. Otherwise, I was just kind of passively watching.
Weird choice.
Like, vegging out and watching, you know? A little bit of legacy here. Afterwards, when this show went off the air, Bob Newhart stars in three more sitcoms throughout his life. And he's still alive, by the way. He's 93 as of this week.
Oh, good for Bob.
He's
probably going to die soon.
Oh, stop. I mean, maybe. The next one after the Bob Newhart Show is just called Newhart. It was just as successful as this one, if not maybe more, which is kind of rare for a sitcom star's second sitcom. They all have a second one, but most of them are not successful. That one ran for eight seasons in the 80s until 1990. He plays a different character in it. We're going to watch it eventually. It's also good. His next two shows after that were not as successful. One called Bob, where he played a cartoonist.
That's just silly.
That was in the early 90s. And then one called George and Leo, where he played a bookstore owner opposite Judd Hirsch, who's the main guy, one of the main guys in Taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was in 1997. So those were not as good or as successful.
Got it.
In 1991, there's a Bob Newhart Show reunion where they're in character, which is pretty cool.
Interesting.
I'd say his most noteworthy role after all this, though, is probably in Elf. In 2003, he's Papa Elf. He's still alive, like I said. He just turned 93. He's been married to his wife since 1963. She's still alive as well.
Good
nice.
On you, Bob.
I feel
they probably have a lot of fun.
I think they do.
I think
they
the
laugh.
Secret.
I think, you know, I
from
think their life.
Who, from a couple who's still married after six long years.
Are you comparing yourself to Bob and Ginny Newhart?
We got
wild
advice. Finally, a Ginny I can like.
We spent the last 3 weeks covering dinosaurs, and now we're doing a show by one of the oldest living comedians right now.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't intentional.
Wasn't it?
We are going to watch what are widely considered the best two episodes of this show.
Okay.
I don't remember them specifically, but these are considered the best two.
Yeah.
Season 4, Episode 7, Death Be My Destiny.
Okay.
And Season 4, Episode 11, Over the River and Through the Woods. Ready?
All right, that first one sounds metal as hell.
Bob knew. Mary Tyler Moore was all about death. Remember we did Chuckles Bites the Dust?
Yeah.
Almost forgot before we watched the episodes. Here's the Nick at Night promo. They took the theme song, which is like a very instrumental, no lyrics, and they have, of course, added lyrics. Here's the Nick at Night tongue-in-cheek goof on the Bob Newhart theme song, which you have not heard yet, so you might not get the joke.
Bob Newhart, 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 Bob Newhart.
Did I hear air forcing its way out of your nose in a very small chuckle? You're laughing.
The only reason
I can't believe it
is because this is something dumb that I would do. And just repeating, Bob Newhart, Bob Newhart, Bob Newhart.
That's the kind of energy Nick at Night had. That's why a little boy like me would watch it and then be just enthralled by this show about a boring psychologist who stammers a lot.
I was almost killed.
What?
No, nothing.
What do you mean nothing? I mean, you just said you're almost killed. How can you say you're almost killed and expect me to accept nothing for an answer, Bob? What happened?
I was almost killed.
What do you mean you were almost killed?
I was killed, but not quite.
What happened?
What happened? I was almost killed. I went to get in the elevator, and it wasn't there, and I had to cling onto the cables for dear life.
Oh, no, Bob, how'd you get out?
Well, it wasn't easy. I inched my way down the cables till I got down to the floor below. That's where the elevator was, and then I let myself in the trapdoor.
Oh, goodness, you're here and you're safe.
Emily, I was almost touched by Father Death.
That's Father Time, Bob. It's old man death.
Bob.
I got bad info. My notes are wrong. Thank you, Katie, for figuring it out. Death Be My Destiny is season 5, episode 19, which means we're going to watch them in reverse order. That's fine.
Yeah, we got like an electric organ here.
Oh, is that what that is?
And horns. Ah, Suzanne Plochette also. Why are these people coming over first thing in the morning?
It's
get
like
out of here.
His neighbor, his friend.
Uh-huh.
His friend's a pilot. His hours are probably weird.
Get the heck out.
This is so 70s, this opening, right?
I am kind of digging it, not going to lie. Just going to work.
Yeah, he's just walking to work.
God, why did you like this?
I don't know. I would like get excited when the theme song came on.
What is the matter with you?
I was just so into it.
Ah, created by David Davis and Lorenzo Music.
Oh, I usually give that credit. Well,
you know who Lorenzo Music is?
Yeah, Garfield's voice. Yeah, Mary Tyler Moore and her husband didn't create it, but they produced it at their company and they sought him out. His music's funky as hell. No wonder I liked it.
Yeah, therapy in the 70s. Bob Newhart talks a lot. And then he's like, our time is up. Bob Newhart's sage therapeutic advice. Just be positive. Thanks, the 70s. Not sure that I think that, like, the uproarious laughter about these patients is really funny. Lock your door, Bob Newhart! Why is Howard always busting in? I like this part where his wife and his friend gang up on Bob Newhart. I can't believe you enjoyed this.
Is this why I like earth tones, do you think?
Yes, baby. This is why you like earth tones. This is why you fashioned our home to look like the Bob Newhart show.
Subconsciously.
All Bob Newhart does is spout these platitudes of, like, life is short, learn to enjoy it. And he's like, that's our time. How many maraschino cherries do you think the average person went through in the 70s?
It seems like a lot.
She's happily stocking the fridge with four jars of maraschino cherries, two red and two green. He almost fell down the elevator shaft. And the solution is just have this double whiskey. This is you. So imagine you as a 5-year-old consuming this with these highly anxious folks.
What, watching all these neurotic characters?
Yeah. Like, you could die at any second. What if you trip on a roller skate and fly into these drapes?
Are
and the
you
drapes
saying
go around
my
your neck
anxiety is not caused by the chemicals in my brain naturally, but by watching the Bob Newhart show as a small child?
I think you should become familiar with the stress diathesis model.
Is there a class action I could have here?
It probably did not help. It's a built-in bed, which is super cool. But then their sheets are just Beetlejuice. Just straight up black and white stripes.
Huge stripes,
too. Massive stripes. Not a pinstripe. It's like a prison uniform. Is he wearing shoes in bed? What is this 70s outfit that Mr. Hurd has on with jeans, a chambray shirt, a blazer, and a tie?
It's like a wool blazer, too.
And you're telling me that this is the best one.
For me, as a 5-year-old, it was the best one. I'm not making any universal judgment here.
You thought this was the best one.
I loved it. I don't know why. And yes, I was watching this and then also watching more manic things during the day. This is my nighttime chill out. I looked forward to this.
That was the most boring thing I've ever seen.
It's not over.
Oh my God, why?
I'd like to order some Chinese food.
What do you want?
Howard wants pizza.
No, I don't. He wants the Moo Goo Guy Pat.
Did you hear what Howard wants?
Oh. Moo Goo Guy Pat.
That's what I want too. Dr. J. Robinson wants Moo Goo Guy Pat.
And more Moo Goo Goo.
Did you hear what you just said, Bob? He said Moo Goo Goo Goo.
He said Moo Goo Goo Goo.
That's right. You said Moo Goo Goo Goo. Maybe I'm ordering Chinese baby food.
Well, you better get some paper wrap chicken.
Wrap up a chicken. Next.
I'll have the sweet and sour pork.
Make up your mind, Mr. Carlos.
Okay, I'll have the Moo Goo Guy Pan.
More Moo Goo Guy Pan.
It's a Wamaki.
Wamaki.
I have another Moo Goo Guy Pan.
More goo to go.
You were definitely asleep before this intro was over.
I was not. Something about Bob Newhart's voice. Very soothing. Very pleasant.
I guess he kind of strikes me as like a non-toxic male. This is like some kind of horrific 70s craft that Emily, Bob Newhart's wife, is making with her students. And it's just like the stuff of nightmares. It's like a mask.
It's a whole craft. Grocery paper bag, yeah. Right? That they've turned into this really frightening mask.
God, the 70s, when you could just draw with like a Marks-A-Lot marker all over a grocery bag and basically chloroform yourself. And it was all part of your totally normal school day. I have to go do the laundry when this is done, and that will provide me with an exciting reprieve from Bob Newhart.
Ouch.
I'm tired of this trope where it's like wife wants to go visit her family and her husband's like, no, I don't want to go. I think Bob Newhart needs to learn to set some boundaries at work. That is a nice camel coat that Bob Newhart has. Look at their childless existence.
Looks pretty nice.
He's definitely over-prescribing Quaaludes. Bob Newhart... He was like, you seem a little nervous.
He's just a psychologist. He doesn't have a prescription pad.
It was the 70s. Anyone could prescribe a Quaalude. I like when a wife burns it down. All right, so Emily has gone to Seattle because she's like, you know what? F you, Bob. I'm going. What is happening? Bob Newhart needs to set boundaries at work. Oh, Emily usually makes the pancakes, and now my pancake is burnt.
And now him and his orthodontist friend are drinking out of a jug at 9:30 in the morning.
Also, one single pancake.
Yeah, that's his special
said,
Thanksgiving
Emily usually
breakfast.
Makes me a pancake.
It's his Thanksgiving pancake.
I like that Monstera they have growing in the corner.
It's a nice apartment. Oh, look, he's doing his phone shtick.
It's not very funny. I'm bored. You want to hear the best part of this whole show?
Yes.
The eye itch I just gave myself. You know when you itch your eye real good and it feels so good and you're just like, oh my God, everything's right with the world. That was the best part of this show.
I can't believe you would disrespect Bob Newhart like this.
That was disappointing.
I hyped it up a little too much, huh?
You really did. I did not like it.
Oh. It's very low-key. Bob Newhart's whole persona and his whole show, very low-key. To appeal to maybe people who think that most modern media is too manic.
This was boring as hell, and you know it.
I liked it,
though. You did not laugh
once. I didn't
laugh
that much. I had a few sensible chuckles.
It was kind of the same speed as Taxi.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, wow. There's like one thing that you can laugh at per episode, and you spend the entire episode anticipating the one time that you might be able to laugh.
This episode is sort of the famous Bob Newhart episode, the way the, what was it on Taxi? The slow down, yellow light means slow down, is the famous part of that. where, like, people are probably all hyped about the drunken phone call at the end, which isn't that good.
It's not that fun.
It's fine.
It's something that, like, your uncle might tell you about at your own Thanksgiving and be like, this is so funny. And then
make everyone watch it.
Oh, my God.
And then it's 30 minutes.
It takes 25 minutes to pull it up on YouTube because your uncle can't find anything. And then you're like, oh, my God.
That was only 24 minutes and 38 seconds. Didn't it feel longer?
No, I'm out of here.
Didn't it feel brutal?
Don't watch it. Just do something else. Roast a marshmallow, order your own Chinese food, I don't care. Don't waste your time.
A debate raged in Congress. It seemed an endless fight till the speaker called for recess.
Recess!
It's time for Naked Night.